Happy to be joined now by John Molinaro of Sportsnet.ca. John, thanks a lot for this. It's, I mean, there's a lot to get to as far as soccer is concerned, but I want to get to everybody's favorite personality in soccer. I say that just a little bit facetiously. We're talking about Sepp Blatter. He's the man everybody loves to hate, right? I don't think there's too many soccer fans that actually just flat out love him, but he is here for the FIFA Under 20 Women's World Cup, getting ready for the real deal down the line here. And he didn't wait to be asked about whether he could see a World Cup being played in Canada, like a full FIFA World Cup, like the one we just saw in Brazil. He brought it up and he said, you know, let's, first of all, it's hard to understand exactly the way he speaks, but here's some of the quotes. Let's go to see if you can bring the famous FIFA's World Cup we just played in Brazil to your country. I'm sure that this country will be as calm as it is now. And tell me one country in the world, actually, that is very calm. And here, I feel home. What do you make of those comments, John? Is that just a guy? He just is trying to butter up some of the media folks. And he's done with getting ripped from some of the things that went down in Brazil.
I think it's a little bit of both, if I'm being perfectly honest. I mean, yeah, I think he's obviously wants to get the media on side, and, you know, he's in Canada, so what else is he going to say, right?
It's right.
I think there's a certain element to that. But I think the idea of Canada hosting the 2026 World Cup, which has kind of been talked about before, I don't think it's as ridiculous as some people seem to think.
Really?
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that Canada is going to host this Under 20 Women's World Cup this year, kicking off today, it's going to host the Women's World Cup next year. It's basically held every kind of men's and women's youth tournament. So the natural progression here is left is for it to host the Men's World Cup. I think, you know, we're talking 2026 is a long time away, so a lot of things can happen, but that's also works in Canada's advantage in terms of getting stadiums up to code, in terms of doing the political work behind the scenes to get FIFA on side, you know, in terms of lobbying for the voting process. So I don't think it's outlandish as some people seem to think. I mean, I'm not betting on it at this moment, but it's certainly a possibility.
2026, why won't they they should hold the FIFA World Cup on our colony on the moon by that point, John. I think that's makes a little more sense.
You're not buying it?
It seems so far from now.
Right.
If that's the case, though, we should stop even caring about the national team, right? Because they'll have an automatic entry into that World Cup.
Yeah, but you want to see the national team do well, right? I mean, you don't want to see it like South Africa 4 years ago where, they didn't have to qualify and they just showed up and they bowed out after three games.
Right.
You'd like to see them field a competitive team.
I'm sure the Qatar national team is going to put up a nice fight if that thing actually goes down, John. But honestly, this is something you could see happening. Doesn't the fact that the national team has struggled so mightily, does that play into it at all?
No, I don't think so because, you know,
12 years from now, who knows?
Yeah, 12 years from now, you don't know, although I suspect they're not going to be much better. But, you know, Qatar, they've never qualified for a World Cup either, and it didn't stop FIFA giving them the World Cup either.
No.
Right? So I don't think that plays into it at all.
That raises another question, though. Does this country have the money to get a World Cup?
And that's a valid question. And the other valid question is, do you want to get in bed with FIFA, right? I mean, because you're talking about, with all due respect to them, an organization that isn't exactly clean here.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brazil had to give up. I mean, any hosting country has to give up a lot in terms of, you know, taxes and stuff like that. So you're really kind of rolling out the red carpet and letting FIFA walk away with a nice pocket full of money. And I'm not sure the legacy that's left behind, A, that it's all that great and that there's much of a legacy. So those are questions that have to be asked too.
We'll probably still be paying off the Pan Am Games here in this.
Oh, don't even get me started on
that. By that point. Maybe the Garden will be done, though.
Maybe.
In 12 years, I hope. That'd be nice. But it is going to be fun to have the Women's World Cup here. That is a big deal event. And in the United States, it's turned into a big deal event as well. Some memorable moments and a situation where this country could easily match up against the United States in a final in another rematch from that epic game from the London Olympics. But the U-20 Women's World Cup cranking up today. I know the men's side of things, it's actually a pretty big deal because some of the up-and-coming players, I mean, every international superstar plays in the men's under 20 thing. Is it the same deal for the women's?
Very much so. Yeah, it's very much a launching pad for the, you know, the women's game's brightest stars and sort of prospects. And I remember in 2002 when Canada last held this tournament in Edmonton, they had crowds of like 40,000 plus for, you know, the final between Canada and the US. And that was the tournament, of course, that launched the careers of people like Christine Sinclair and Cara Lang and a lot of the stalwarts of the Canadian national senior women's team.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they kind of first came to prominence and notice. So it's very much a launching pad for the game's up and coming bright stars. And the good thing about Canada's team is they already have, I think there's about four or five players who have already been capped by the senior team. So they have some experience at the highest level.
Yeah.
So I think Canada comes into this tournament, as a host, obviously that's a big advantage, but also with a pretty good chance at, going on a long run in this competition.
John Molinaro joins me at Sportsnet.ca. The FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup getting cranked up in this city and around the country as well. So, yeah, I mean, we know that the Canadian senior women's team is a top five team in international soccer. Same deal with the under-20s?
That's an interesting question, because I actually asked John Herdman, the coach of the women's team, last week about that. I said, break down the U-20 field for me. I mean, how competitive is it? And he said it's very competitive. I mean, teams kind of come out of nowhere to really sort of take the tournament by surprise. But he says it's hard to really kind of handicap it because you're talking about, countries who, with their developmental system at the U-20 level, a lot of the times it's centralized. So not a lot of information is out there about, who's doing what. So it's kind of hard to handicap in terms of who's going to win this tournament. And he kind of said there's probably one of 12 teams that could win this tournament.
Mm.
And it's really hard to pinpoint, to say definitively who are the top five or six countries in the U-20 field. So it really is an open field.
Is John Herdman a lifer in this country? Like, it seems like he's really become the face of women's soccer outside of Christine Sinclair as well. But is he loving the celebrity that's kind of engulfed him becoming the women's national head coach?
I'm not sure that he enjoys the celebrity. I think he's very much a kind of a reserved guy.
Yeah.
But he certainly is enjoying the job and he's firmly committed to it. I mean, it's important to note that he's not only the coach of the women's senior team, but he's also the director of the Canadian Women's Excel program, which is basically a program that aligns the under 14 team through to the senior team. So he's sort of, working with all the youth team coaches, making sure that these players are progressing all with a goal towards graduating them to the senior team. So he's not just thinking about, next year's World Cup. He's thinking long-term beyond that from a long-term developmental point of view. So, yeah, I think that speaks to how much he's sort of committed and invested in this program.
I'm going to ask you about Toronto FC in just a second, but we're so close to the start of the Premier League season. Man,
yeah.
It seemed like there was no downtime.
I know.
And for some of these guys, there really wasn't.
There wasn't.
The World Cup. But the Champions Cup just wrapped up, and you could see it on Sportsnet, and a lot of people did. A lot of questions were going to surround Manchester United with how disappointing their season was last year. Louis van Gaal, now the new man in charge at Old Trafford. And I know it's just the friendly season and the exhibition season, but a lot of people are kind of excited at the way he's got them playing, and they beat Liverpool in the final of that tournament as well. Is there anything to be taken from some of these friendlies that happen here in the summer?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing to be taken from them.
Favreau's going to be upset at that.
I don't think you can read anything into them because, I mean, to be honest, teams are kind of fielding, a mixed mash of teams, their second stringers and stuff like that. I suspect that they're not taking it all that seriously and really going at it. So I'm not sure you can read a great deal into it.
Even a team like Manchester United, where it's a new manager and trying to figure some things out and maybe some tactically trying different things and trying to see who fits where? Not even a team like that?
Oh, possibly, sure, yeah. But I mean, I don't think you can read into that and suggest, and kind of predict how they're going to do or how they're going to play. I think it's just a time for experimentation and trying things out. Not necessarily you'll get a clear tactical identification of these teams going forward.
So Toronto FC, back in the win column, beat, one of the worst teams in MLS.
Yes, the worst.
In Montreal Impact. So that helps. Anytime you can play the worst team in Major League Soccer and you're desperate for a win, much appreciated. But their big signing, Jermaine Defoe, now going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. They're already kind of a bubble playoff team right now. It's a key stretch of games for them. Well, I mean, that road trip does continue with the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup. They had to spend 4 games away from BMO Field. How much of an impact is he going to have? Are other guys who we were looking to score, and Gilberto's found his scoring touch a little bit. I mean, this is kind of a key stretch for them. Have they figured it out, how to get that secondary scoring?
Well, you would hope so. I mean, Defoe has scored 11 of the team's 29 goals, so he's obviously, you know, the major goal scorer for the club. And you're right, Gilberto has kind of found his scoring touch, but not quite lately. But this is an opportunity for him. I mean, he really has to sort of step up now, and he really has to live up to that DP, designated player tag, because the loss of Defoe is, it's a big blow for them. The club's already missing, you know, two of their starting four defenders. And with Defoe out, they're kind of light on options up top, because it's only Luke Moore and Gilberto. And then off the bench, you're talking about Dwayne De Rosario and Andrew Wiedemann, who between them haven't scored a goal this year. So,
right.
Yeah, I think the pressure is going to be really on Luke Moore and Gilberto to find the back end of the net. And yeah, and the guys in the midfield too. I mean, I think, you know, guys like Jackson and Jonathan Osorio and Dominic Oduro, they're really going to have to sort of pick up, you know, the slack and offer some secondary scoring here.
Is part of the reason that Defoe is breaking down a little bit by injury, I mean, there's just so many games. Toronto FC's played so many games with all these games jammed in. I know they didn't want to play too many during the World Cup, and that was understandable. They took almost a month off. But is part of him breaking down maybe Ryan Nelson not managing his minutes enough?
Possibly, but I think it's more to do. I mean, don't forget that he came from Spurs, right? Sort of, he was in the middle of their season. I know he wasn't a regular starter for Tottenham, but he was playing, you know, a fair bit of games. So he's had a very long season before he even got here in Toronto back in March, and he only joined the team, you know, on March 1st, like on the final day of training camp or whatever it was. So he really had to hit the ground running, and he came here, you know, with, you know, having played already a slew of games. So I think it has more to do with that more than anything else.
All right, before we let you go, John, you got to tell me how Spurs are going to do this year. Disappointing year last year. Yeah. And I really had high hopes. Roberto Soldado.
Are you a Spurs fan?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Roberto Soldado, big disappointment. LaMelo looked good here.
Yeah.
Is it finally his time to step up and be a key contributor?
I would think so. I think Pochettino, the new coach, is really going to give him the reins a little bit and see what he can do. And I'm a big Eric LaMelo fan. I mean, I was, you know, I watch Italian soccer quite a lot, obviously, and he was fantastic at Roma. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt that he didn't sort of live up to expectations last year, but I don't think
didn't
he necessarily
get a chance.
No. So I think with Pochettino coming in, this is kind of a new regime, and new players are going to get a chance to really sort of show themselves. And the way Pochettino plays, attacking kind of open style, I think LaMelo will really fit in. So I'm really curious to see not just how he does, but how Spurs do.
And they've got the pixie dust of Steve Nash, who, you know, trained with them. So maybe that'll help.
Yeah, like that means anything.
Yeah, it does. Just like the exhibition season means a whole lot to Manchester United. Hey, John, thanks a lot for this.
No problem.